When you buy LG, you get so much more than just an appliance. You get more done, more cost savings, more peace of mind, and more control. Because LG appliances are designed to do more. Like washers and dryers with AI tech to take out the guesswork. Refrigerators that fit in tight spaces and keep food fresher longer. Or ranges with precise induction cooking and easy cleanup built in. All with the style you want and reliability you can count on. So you can get more from your home every day. LG appliances, so much more. Make life easier with LG. See the latest models and savings now at LG.com.
Hey, everybody, this is your old buddy Dave, Three Fat Truckers. Welcome back. I believe this is episode 146, I think. Oh, my gosh.
They are just flying by, aren't they?
I know. We can't believe it.
I can remember when
Bill,
said three and four.
We lost our little buddy Bill last week, but that's okay. We got him back, and we even brought our guest back because Bill didn't get a chance to chat with him. And so, Bill, where would you be able to find this crazy-ass show if you was actually wanting to break down and look for it and not stumble on it?
Well, if that's the case, I would say seek help, but... If that's not within the realm of possibility, go ahead and website is threeoftpodcast.org. Email the show at threeoftpodcast.org. We're on all the socials. Check us out. We're on the Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, all that stuff your mom warned you about. Episode 146.
And if you're on the podcast, what do they need to do, Bill?
If you're on the podcast, and subscribe.
No, they need to get on the podcast, iHeart, and give us the...
Yeah, well, I mean, we're everywhere, basically. But if you do consume the show on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, go ahead and like and subscribe and give us a rating. But we are everywhere that you can get a podcast, and I mean everywhere. So go check it out, folks.
And we got a special guest back. How are we doing, Sage?
Hey, how's it going? Good. Thanks for having me back. I didn't think I'd be able to, come back so soon after the last one, but I was able to, heal up and regain my,
your composure.
My composure. And barely, as you can tell. But I'm back. I'm back.
Yeah, he is our Canadian light.
Canadian light.
Oh, no, he said he's a suburb of Canada, but he's where are you at?
it's in Maine, but I consider it pre-Canada. So I'm like 40 miles from Canada. So
there you go. And I'm Steve. Thanks for stopping by. We'll see you next week.
All right.
Oh, wait. All right. Enjoy the show. We'll have a little bit of yuck today for you probably.
So how you doing, Bill? I'm glad you're back. Looks like you just rolled out of bed.
Yeah, it's been rough. I ain't gonna lie.
I know he's been under the weather. He's had all kinds of troubles going.
But I thought that was like code for instead of seeing rolling off of her, you rolled out of.
Yeah. Well,
are we under the weather a little bit? Are we? Or
I've had an on and off thing for a few months now.
COVID, is it?
No, it's nothing. I don't think
nothing
it's anything
man-made.
I don't think it's anything you can catch. I think it's something.
So your kids and wife would have it too, right?
Yeah. It's something that's been kind of ongoing. But no, I'm here, for God's sake. I drove straight from Columbus, Mississippi yesterday. Rolled in the yard at about 1 o'clock in the morning last night.
Allegedly. I was still up drinking.
Allegedly. Then. Yeah.
I like that. Allegedly. Yeah.
Yeah. Allegedly. No, it was legal because I got down there. I got all the way down there. Thursday night and delivered it probably 10:30. Well, no, it was about 11 o'clock. Went ahead and got dumped. And then I parked at, that little fuel stop. There's a little fuel stop down there right outside the steel mill. went ahead and parked in there and then got up, did my 10 hours, got up and drove straight.
Is that where all the cool kids park?
It's where I parked, so I guess so.
I guess that ELD reset that I sent worked.
Boy, I sure appreciated that, man. I tell you what.
Little ego truck in there, huh?
I was up against the 70 and the 14, by God.
So you're one of those Echo dispatchers, huh?
Yeah.
All of us just switched to PC and drive that son of a bitch home.
They took PC from me about a year ago. I don't have PC or the 2-hour exemption anymore.
Wow.
Apparently I overdid.
I must not work that hard anymore because I don't even get up against either one of them. Well, the 14 I do, but not the 70.
I very rarely get up against my 70 because I just don't. I don't need to work that hard anymore, so I don't. But this week, 2 trips out to Missouri and back, and then that one down to Mississippi became necessary.
By the way, Bill, with our guest on the phone, guess what he's a big user of? He's a big Discord guy.
Oh, yeah. Is he?
He actually made me sign up for it this week. So
I'm not saying Discord is shit. You were already signed up, by the way. We were using that in the beginning.
Right.
And then, yeah. we use it for the other two shows that I'm on. We use that, and it's had some problems lately. I don't know what's going on, but that might just be on Linux side, too.
Well, right off the bat, it's Linux, so what do you expect?
Everybody, like, what the hell, Linux? That daggum old. I ain't into all that daggum old computers, technology, whatnot, this, that, and the other.
It's been a long time since I was a Windows, and then I'm like, okay, this Windows thing sucks. Then I went to Mac, and then it's been a long time. I'm definitely not considering myself a Linux person at all, but I know what it is, and I've seen it and used it a little bit, but besides that, that's about all I know.
If you're a content creator, there's no doubt that Macs are quality hardware once you.
By the way, we ought to. Why don't you go ahead and tell us who you are, where you are, and where everybody can find you so they know what you're doing here.
That'd be him. Me?
Yeah, you.
Me?
Huh? Yeah, they know where to find me.
So I am Sage Outcast X on YouTube. I've been in the trucking industry for over 30 years. I'm everything from CDL, carrier, owner-operator, freight broker, don't hold that against me, and just to make it a bigger slap in the face, also a licensed insurance agent in the commercial field. So you can, like I said, you can find me on Sage Outcast X on YouTube. Or if you're looking for insurance, you can reach out to me at oversizedinsurance.com and you can book an appointment. We can take a look at your compliance and insurance.
That's why we had him on. Fat guys need oversized insurance. So
I was just going to say, it's funny. He says he was into brokerage, but insurance is the thing he thinks he needs forgiveness for.
I do. The insurance. Well, both, actually. The broken one, I'm just over it at this point. I was broken for 17 years. So it's like, whatever. Can't get away from it now. Like I tell people all the time, there's no chance I'm getting into heaven at all in any way.
What do you think about this C.H. Robinson thing going on right now with, of course, the wider conversation is about the brokers not taking, which, you know, I've got mixed opinions about myself, but brokers not taking responsibility for these chameleon carriers getting these loads and illegal drivers, unsafe practices, all that, you know, is that.
The case that you're probably talking about is the Miller, C.H. Robinson versus Miller, which established, each state has their own guidelines for tort law, right, in regards to how much you can sue for, things like that. Well, T.H. Robinson are basically saying, hey, for us to possibly figure out, the risk and what we would responsible for in each state, it's going to be extremely difficult. So we want to abide by the federal guidelines of responsibility. So in regards to the chameleon carriers and everything, now, job of a freight broker is to determine a safe carrier that can perform the job at the price that the shipper, receiver, whoever's paying the bill, the customer is willing to pay to move the freight, right? At some point, they just say, I'm not paying that, might not move. The problem is that if we start to put that on the freight broker, where we say, hey, you're now responsible for the driver of the truck, meaning now I have to figure out if the driver that you, the carrier, hired, is good enough to be a driver, how far do I get to go? Do I get to run your MVR? Do I get to run your PSPs? Do I get to say, sorry, you've got a ticket in the last 3 months? I can't, you know, our brokerage won't do that. And then, so the problem is that the reaction that you're going to get from freight brokers that are going to now have to cover themselves, what are you kind of looking for from that aspect? Because if they go down to that, then they're just going to say, well, then let's go with autonomous truck. And then I don't have to worry about how bad the driver is that you're hiring because you're hiring bad drivers. So I do feel that it's a responsibility of a freight broker to determine, hey, is the carrier safe, and to do a proper interview and find out, you know, what your safety scores are, ask questions about the carrier and the type of freight you haul, the type of lanes you run and things like that. But where did it become an overextension of my job trying to determine if your employee is safe, is a safe enough driver? It's kind of a, we have to kind of look at it from that also, I think.
Well, and everything you're saying, why has that not been implemented from the start, from the very first start, go one, something should have been implemented before this ever got out of hand.
Yeah, and they're rolling into newer technologies now, but the technology is like 40 years old, and they're just bringing in newer technologies to be able to track down the chameleon carriers. The biggest push was COVID, and when COVID hit and the money was so great, everybody was jumping into there. Like, it's just so fast trying to jump in that it was tough to keep up with basically, you know, all these carriers. And then they found like loopholes that they just started new carriers. And then freight brokers said, well, then fine, we're not going to take you unless your authority's been open for 6 months or 3 months, or you have two inspections and all this other stuff. And then the drivers were kind of complaining about that, which I do feel that could be an issue too, because some drivers run the same route and never get inspected. You know what I mean? They're running, you never go across scales. But it's still how
you get comfortable.
Right. And it's still trying to determine that, okay, at what point is the carrier responsible for the drivers in which they hire? And then I feel the broker's responsible for with the carrier that they hire. But I believe that if you have hire drivers, why is it my responsibility to make sure you hire safe drivers? That's kind of a portion of what you should be doing with your business already. And I think that's a big push. It's weird. I just hear a lot of people say, no, the broker should be responsible for the driver.
Well, what it is everybody's trying to pass the buck. I'm not going to be responsible. You're going to be responsible. And there's the thing.
I think there's a lot of people taking advantage of that, too. I mean, Amazon, oh, yeah, of course.
Well, I don't know how many companies, when you do loads and they have you signing paperwork and stuff, you're signing stuff off where, not a disclosure, but
waiver.
Yeah, a waiver of responsibility to where it doesn't fall on them whatsoever.
Right.
So you can't come back on them.
Right. And Amazon has just changed it recently in the past couple months that from now on, if you're an Amazon Relay driver, you have to submit, your drivers have to submit background checks to Amazon. Now, Amazon's going to run background checks on your drivers. Mm-hmm. So I think that there could be a huge, you know, situation there, because now what determines the background check that Amazon's going to pick? So
put you it hire- in English.
That too. I could do that also.
All I know is any Amazon facility where you see all the trucks parked outside, you're going to see a lot of flip flops in the ditch.
Yeah. Well, I think that's more.
Oh, boy.
So, as we talked last week, we were on here. I don't know if anybody else has noticed on Facebook and TikTok, but talking about the hourly wage is blown up crazy going on everything. Oh, my God. It dropped Friday evening, and this morning it was like 64,000 likes so far and like 48 comments right off the bat on TikTok. And
so what was the majority for hourly pay?
For the small amount I read is, where are you located? What's the name of the company?
Okay, yeah, yeah. I've seen a couple of comments in my feed. Yeah, I wasn't sure what they were commenting on.
I got into it with a guy earlier this week because we were talking about pay, and I told him, well, you know, it's all moot point because I'm paid by the hour, and I had to hear it from two or three different people. Well, you ain't no real truck driver then if you paid by the hour.
No, and I got the fucking smart one.
I'm like, well, you know, to be honest, I stumbled on it. But, yeah, anyway, screw you.
I think if the majority of companies in this country went to by the hour, it's just getting drivers in the mindset of not speeding. Because when if you're paid by the hour and you're speeding, you're stealing money from yourself. But there is such a thing as not dragging your feet and, you know, sucking
but
up the
today's the time. Technology can control that.
Oh, back yeah, yeah. Because they can monitor everything you do. Yeah,
they kept track of where you at by your fuel stops. Well, he fueled here, so and he fueled there, so I know he's been there.
Well, now they keep track of you with that camera that's looking out the front and looking back at you. Supposedly, it's turned off, but we know about that, Bill.
Yeah, Bill, go ahead and tell him your little story.
When you have the owner's wife call you and says, oh, please don't change your clothes without shutting the curtain.
No, she.
Or was you taking a crap on the bucket?
Yeah, I was using the old bucket.
This is a good one, Sage. You gotta catch this
she calls
part.
Me up.
Bill? Why weren't you wearing your seatbelt?
I was wearing my seatbelt. What do you?
Well, I was watching the video here, and you weren't wearing your seatbelt.
It wasn't until days later that I figured out. Oh, she saw me pull over down in Columbus, and I.
He's one
on
of those
bucket.
Guys that gets.
He don't have a seatbelt on his bucket. Is the problem?
Do you know what? I warned these people when they put those cameras in the truck.
You're
I said,
cameras.
I
yeah.
said, Mike, if I think for 1 second you are watching me while I'm going down the road, I am going to get butthole naked and just start whacking it right there in front of that camera. I swear, I can't stand that shit. That's
hey.
One.
I'd have went the other way, Bill, and one more.
Oh, that's going to be an ugly
took
short
a piece
next
of black
week.
Electrical tape and put it over the camera.
AI's all over that.
That's yeah, not the. That's not the last time I embarrassed him. I called him up, and he's one of those people that puts you on speakerphone.
Yeah,
and there's you don't walk out in front of the train, and you don't put Bill on speakerphone, okay? And he was in the office. Office full of people, and I told the story right there on his speakerphone. I'm like, yeah, I think Beth saw me naked. That's why I had to put a piece of tape on my camera.
But he did get a 35-cent raise next week.
Well, that you know what that actually was is that was actual some of the referral money from the OnlyFans page that he that did.
Yeah, just think of the money I could
this
be
guy
making.
Here when he was on here last time, he kept talking about OnlyFans. I think he's got a couple side gigs going here.
Hey, don't knock it.
I'll never tell. You're just gonna have to find me the old-fashioned way, big boy.
All them little memes you see on Facebook and stuff where it's the fat guy dancing on the pole that says, "Shut up, I need chrome."
Well, oh, it's funny that we talk about this. Did you guys, any of you, see the guy that got the 24 violations out in California, and the ticket was so long that they printed off from the police car that they played jump rope with it? Yeah, you see that story?
Well, that's just absurd, Dave.
Oh, it's all over the internet. CDL Life has got it, but everybody's talked about it, so I didn't go with that story today, but it was pretty funny.
That's why.
24 violations, and he got stopped because he was off route in California, and they pulled him over and did an inspection, and it is so funny. You can tell it's truly done because the brakes are all held together with bungee cords and slack adjusters are off. It's tires are bald, no lights.
I never have been able to understand that. So you're fucking up, right? You're doing some nefarious shit, and then you get out there
and go down a road you're not supposed to.
Yeah, exactly.
But no, you got lights out, you know, you got your seat kicked back, you're hitting a blunt, you know, you're doing all the wrong things.
You could have been on the phone with Dave and just missed your turn.
We've all done it.
Oh, we did it.
I was writing these wrong things down. What was that last one? Don't do blunts.
Don't do blunts.
Well, I'm not saying don't do blunts, just don't get caught doing blunts. Don't have one hanging out your mouth when you go by. Johnny Law sitting on the side of the road.
Should the insurance guy be listening to this?
Recording it? No. Continue on.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say he's probably heard it all.
Pretty much,
doing some work for the state highway testing bridge weights is what he had Dave had me doing.
Yeah. No, you were talking to me on the phone. And
I know, and I missed my turn.
Had a brain fart. He's our heavy hauler.
And I'm rolling up 160,000 up this road, and there's a bridge that they just derated from 80. To 76, and I'm telling you right now,
it was
37
ton.
It'd take 160 across it, as long as you go fast enough.
Once.
Yeah. It's the continuous use that hurts it. Not once ain't gonna hurt it. Come on.
Oh, I had plenty of tires. It was spread out.
Well, before we go any farther and jump into this message, you even see it, Bill?
I will here in a minute.
Yeah. We'll take a quick time out right here and then come back with this action, boys and girls. So we'll be right back. And
we're... Go ahead.
No, I can't say it now. We're back live.
He's got a perfectly good brain fart right there.
I can't say it. We're recording this. I cannot talk that way online.
Do it again. Cut back. Start. We're going to take a mulligan. Everybody hold still. This won't hurt a bit. Won't feel a thing.
146 show notes. Ah, there it is.
Yep, he's right on top of it.
Yeah, okay, I'm on top we've of all today. Talked about it, but... Yeah. Is it wrong or right once in our life? You know, the bad part about Sage, you don't get to see the show notes because he's not on our cloud.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I'm winning.
I could have shared them with him if I knew that was a thing, but nobody talks to me. Nobody says
what
nothing.
Time did you get on here?
I'm showing 23 minutes.
Oh, we're getting picky now, huh? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
okay.
I mean, on here 4 minutes before we started. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
No, Bill. I was here at his house and he wasn't fucking home.
I was still at breakfast.
I called him. I said, "Are you eating breakfast?" "Yeah." "Where at?" "Mr. Coney." And you can hear him talking to everybody. "I gotta go."
Oh, gosh. It would have been better if I just wouldn't have went to bed, but I've got other stuff to do today, so I can't take a nap.
So you'll be crashing tonight.
Oh, God. Like a piano. Remember those cartoons where somebody drops a piano out of the top of the building or something like that?
And the guy's still sleeping under the blanket, don't hear it, but yet somebody moves a pin, and then he wakes up madder than hell.
Wait, those are cartoons?
Oh, yeah.
No, Bill... I keep asking him. I said, "Do me some Ren and Stimpy." He's got the voice, man.
Ren and Stimpy. Wow, there's a.
You don't remember that cartoon?
Yeah, that's a 90s.
Or Pinky
thing.
And the Brain.
Yeah. Okay.
What are we doing today, Pinky? We're taking over the world
right now. All right. Let me tell you something about this.
All right, that better?
You got a balloon right there next to the next
helium.
To your
yeah,
desk.
He was sucking.
You
some
can
helium.
Suck the helium in and.
Yeah, that's not a plot. We do helium shots over here. That's what we do.
Helium shots.
I suppose if you get enough of it.
Oh, this is off subject, but I'm just...
No kidding.
Our whole show is off to subject.
For some reason now, my favorite thing to see on the reels is the people that are in them blow-up suits.
Oh, and somebody
farts. And they go up
and
put the fart spray in the fan, and they start jumping everywhere. It just makes me giggle inside.
Because they put the zipper on the outside, not the inside.
I bust up when I see that. I don't know why.
You know what's funny, too? Off subject, since we're off subject. What I'm watching now, or people are sending me, is the medieval combat things where they just beat each other in the heads and they're all wearing the full armor. And that's like, you know, Carrier Broker Summit 2026, and it's just, you know.
Carrier Broker Summit.
Stop it! Stop hitting me! You know, so that's I'm grabbing some of those, and those are some of my favorite stuff to put shorts out with comment.
Too funny.
Wow.
Oh, shit.
So, Bill, as soon as you get done with your coffee, give us this dream story about how we're going to be so special now.
Oh, boy. Georgia DOT advances plan to build truck-only lanes along 41 miles, really, of I-75. And this is from Ashley over at CDL Life. The Georgia Department of Transportation, otherwise known as GDOT, is currently accepting public comment on a project to build truck-only lanes along the I-75 corridor. From now through May 28, 2026, GDOT is accepting public comments on the I-75 commercial vehicle lanes project proposal as the agency looks to move forward with construction in late 2026. As part of the project. GDOT will build two commercial vehicle only lanes along northbound I-75 from I-475 interchange in Monroe County, ending near, you notice I said Monroe because it's Georgia.
Monroe.
We down there in Monroe County. Ending near the State Route 20 interchange in Henry County. And there's a map. I'll get the show notes up on the website before COB today. The total length of the I-75 commercial vehicle lanes would be approximately 41 miles across Henry, Spalding, Butts, Lamar, and Monroe counties. GDOT says that the truck-only lanes would be separated from the rest of the traffic by a barrier. There would be no toll for truckers using the I-75 lanes, according to GDOT. Officials say the project would reduce delay for commercial vehicles and, in general, purpose lanes during peak periods. The I-75 CVL modernizes infrastructure and operations to grow the economy, increase competitiveness, and improve quality of life, GDOT said.
I think that's right where that one titty bar is.
I got a better idea. Why not just let us use the fucking inside lane?
No, Georgia, why don't they just let us use all the fucking lanes?
That's what I'm saying. Let us use the inside lane.
Because they love right and left lane tickets.
Oh, they love riding that middle lane, you know.
The funny part about it is...
Because you decided to, you know, drive naked a couple times. The next thing you know, they're separating you.
They don't see me coming. They don't see me coming.
That's what she said. Listen, is that you're right. Why don't they just say you stay in this lane? You already can make it a separate lane. Like, so I'm kind of confused on what
we have $2 billion we need to spend.
Oh. That's got to be it. It's money.
Send it to Indiana. Now, they can fix a couple roads.
There's a link at the bottom, and there's a video, and he walks through, and it's all drawn out, AI, and it shows. And there's only two off-ramps to get off so you can get off the highway. Why they didn't make their own off-ramps to get off the highway at these two locations. But they didn't have no problem making a route right into the scale, so you had to go across the scale on this. That they went ahead and put right through, but... I watched the video, and I was going to post it, but it's way too long. It's a little slow, and he's talking way too much. But go online. There's a link for the video down at the bottom of the page here once we drop the show.
It is now. It wasn't a link before I made it into a link. Okay. Once I get these show notes up, go check that out, folks. But, no, I mean, 75 is already at least six lanes from top to bottom.
Well, it is from making Atlanta.
Georgia, yeah.
Yeah, so...
And the problem with most of the drivers is all the northern people up in New York, Rhode Island, driving their motorhomes that they drive twice a year, going down to Florida, that they're not the problem, going trying to run 80 mile an hour, hold everybody up. But yet the trucks that do it for a living are the problem, so we're going to put them off on a little side road to run next to it. Because basically they're just building a frontal road. They're doing Texas.
I always told you, COVID was a godsend down there at Atlanta when COVID come, because I come around there and it was what I called a fishes and loaves moment.
So, okay.
I never slowed down on the top, got on the loop, never slowed down, 60 mile an hour all the way around, and there was not one car on the freaking road. And there might have been half
start
a dozen
calling you
semis.
Moses.
Oh, I mean, it was like he's parting the Red Sea, dude. But yeah, I call that my fishes and lows moment, and it was the best time ever to drive around Atlanta.
Most of us will never get to drive on this because, well, for one thing, it ain't going to get done in our lifetime, and for another.
Well, I remember saying that when I drove, and when they were making Route 30 up here, four lane all the way across, I'm like, oh, I'll be dead and gone.
We take these things for granted now, don't we?
and it was done in, what, a year?
Yeah, 24 going up to Tootledoo. That done. Used to be a nightmare.
By the way, did anybody notice the new overpass they're building at the new Amazon right there on 30? They just broke ground and pouring the concrete already.
Oh, yeah.
Overpass.
Well,
I'm just still noticing new buildings around the area, dude.
My grandpa used to tell.
I've been gone all 4 years, yeah.
My grandpa used to tell stories when we were kids. Hey, I remember when that was all farmland. I've got three times as many of those stories at this point. As he did back then.
Yeah.
No, it's always
Let's give Sal somebody a little credit because of the East Coast, Bill. What do we talk about out there that everybody hates the East Coast, but what do they do that nobody else does in the Midwest?
Oh, well, they'll let you in when you got your turn signal on.
Yeah.
I mean,
I told you how to do that, Bill. All you got to do is pick out a Tesla and swerve, and that son of a bitch will stop because it's the computer says, oh, no.
Yeah, the East Coast, everybody bitches about it, but literally you can turn your turn signal on because nobody's going nowhere and they'll let you in.
Fuck.
Out here in the Midwest.
Not even a chance.
It's a race.
Well, the worst thing you could do is turn the turn signal on because that's when
because
they start
like,
ducking around.
Oh, you some bitch ain't getting in front of me.
Yeah, it's my road.
Pretty much what it is.
No, but that whole thing about the East Coast being the worst place to drive, that is a reality that exists nowhere except your head, dear drivers. Because
unless you're
going
into the city. Then that's
the city.
You can be right.
But like I'm through Connecticut and stuff up there, and I never bothered me a bit.
No.
No, yeah, it's. I've lived in the East Coast whole lot, like Buffalo, and then over here in Massachusetts, Maine stuff. And I've never. It's not a big deal, to be completely honest. We let people in, stuff like that. But yeah, I've seen a lot worse Midwest stuff. That
Michigan, Illinois, yeah. Indiana.
Well, I'm gonna tell you
Tennessee,
what.
Tennessee.
What? 3 weeks? Well, it's probably been 4 weeks now. When I was out there in L.A., I thought it was gonna be worse than what it was, and it wasn't that bad.
Well,
there was a lot of traffic and slowdowns, but it wasn't – people would let you in. I mean, it wasn't – I
don't
know. It really surprised me.
All the slowdowns in L.A. when I was out there is just where two freeways were meeting, and it was too
much
traffic.
I noticed on the East Coast, especially in the blue states out on the East Coast, they assume things about people that we don't assume out here. They assume that you've got –
What color states are we? I don't know what the colors are.
We're like – Indiana red, which means
we're Indiana. IU
we're,
red.
We're red, but we're not going to gerrymander for you. So yeah,
we're IU red.
IU red. There we go.
But no, they'll say things out on the East Coast that they don't say out here on their signs. They assume you know how to read out there.
Yeah.
Traffic confluence ahead.
Yeah.
And then I'm trying to Google
Wikipedia.
What the hell confluence.
They make some assumptions that we don't have out here.
But I just was up in Buffalo Monday. I went up there. I went all the way over to Syracuse and delivered and had an excellent time. Everybody was nice, got in and got out, no problem, you know. And I was only, I think I was 15 miles from the Canadian border up there. I was north of Syracuse up there. I forget the name of the town I was at. The show would go blank for 20 minutes if I'm going to think about it, so just move on.
Yeah, I was going to say, we ain't got time for that.
Yeah,
you hear them crickets, Bill? If I had my machine with me, I'd hit the cricket.
I heard gears grinding.
Well, I got one story here I found. It was interesting to me, but I don't know. We'll see here. It comes off CDL Strong's, the one that put it out here. It says, new cabless semi enters the game. San Francisco, California announced April 21st on a Frontline report. This isn't a self-driving truck. This is something else entirely. A truck built with no cab at all. Says what just dropped. Startup Humble came out of stealth with a fully autonomous freight hauler. No driver's seat, no steering wheel, no human on board. Designed from scratch, not modified. The big difference is it isn't meant for the open highway yet. It's targeting warehouses, rail yards, seaports, controlled logistic zones, where freight moves constantly and human drivers are hardest to scale. How it works, the system runs on cameras, I'm not sure what LIDAR is, and radar. It's a 360-degree visibility. AI decision-making, vision, language, action models. The translation, it sees, processes, and moves on its own. Why they build it this way? By removing the cab, the lighter the vehicle, more payload capacity, lower operating costs, fully electric powertrain, no fuel stops, less maintenance, no driver limitations. The money behind it, $24 million in funding raised, backed by major investors. This isn't a concept. This is being pushed towards development. From the driver's seat, here's the part nobody's saying out loud. This doesn't replace long-haul drivers yet. but it does remove drivers from yards and short haul operations first. And once that door opens, it doesn't close. Reality check. Autonomous trucking has struggled because real world roads are unpredictable. Edge cases kill systems. Infrastructure isn't ready. So companies are adapting. Start where it's controlled, then expand outward. The big play, the goal. Dock-to-dock freight with zero human involvement. Load, move, deliver. No brakes, no shifts, no seat. What this means, the technology is accelerating. The strategy is shifting. The industry is being tested. And whether you like it or not, there is no longer theoretical. Source is from Freight Industry Reporting on Humble Autonomous Cabless Freight Platform Launch. And I have a picture of it, and it looks just like a semi-trailer that has two axles for steer in the front and two axles for drive in the back. So I don't know if it's pulling a trailer eventually or if it's just that.
Like a
trailer that's automated.
In 1948 or 49, somebody made the first truck that was nothing but a trailer. They put a driver's seat in front of a trailer, put a steer axle underneath of it. So they've already done it, and then put the engine underneath in front of them.
Well, have you not seen the ones where the driver is like hanging on the belly underneath them before?
Yeah, I've seen that. But this is actually built into the truck. And they say lighter and small. My main question is, when he breaks down on the highway, who puts the triangles out?
Well, they're not saying highway right now. It's all like the ports and stuff.
First, LIDAR is like laser radar. They use lasers for being radar. A lot of these are also used in ports in Asia. A lot of times they drop the containers on them and they're moving.
Yes, I've seen them.
Asia. In regards to the triangles, it has now been open for comment that instead of self-driving trucks, instead of needing triangles or flares, they're going to be able to use flashing beacons for breakdowns. And they're trying to get that a waiver for 5 years. And that is now just, there's my news story. See, I didn't need no damn show notes, but basically going to be opening that up for comment that instead of having to put triangles or flares down, in trucking, if you break down, you have to put triangles down or flares down at intervals, you know, according to where you are.
Or if they do it for electric, they have to do it for all of us.
Self-driving. Is there
going to it has to be for everybody. They don't get the specialty. I don't want to walk in the rain, put them goddamn things down.
Well, I'm not saying, you said electric.
Walk in the rain.
All of us. But yes, but they want to use beacons. The issue is that we run beacons for oversize. So are we going with a special light? Because just because you see a beacon, we're already kind of trained to stay away from the oversize aspect of it, but you might not think it's stopped. You know what I'm saying?
And the best part about beacons, I love it when it's just misting rain, the sun's just coming up, it's a little dark outside, and you're blinded by it, and you don't know where it's at. Because those work so well when you're, even a cop pulling lights you're using on police cars, literally blind you.
It's the ones they'll let oversize run at night, and you get behind one that's flashing the whole time in front of you, and you can't get around them.
We had garbage trucks. I worked for the garbage business, and we had beacons on the back that blinked 24 hours, 7 days a week. They never turned off.
Right.
Just on all the back of the garbage trucks. So, and they were blinding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but they are looking to do that, is open for comment, or going to be open for comment.
It's going to get the big arrow pointing to the left. Better yet, it'd be better if it pointed to the right and they just drive in the ditch.
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know.
Well, they've been talking about the autonomous trucks, trying to get them out there for I don't know how many years now. And we've seen a couple out there once in a while.
The big of them doing the sand hauling right now, pulling double little pups.
But, I mean, they're few and far between. And far as it going in the ports and stuff, I don't think anybody would complain about that. That to screw around not getting a DAC card and dicking around in ports. I mean, if it's something that's automated and it brings you out your load, you know.
Right.
So can either one of you, all three of us, can any of you guys answer this question? New York toll road up there on 90, you can run doubles. Why not let them do it everywhere in the country? What's the difference between that highway and out west when they do it than any other highway?
I pulled doubles. I pulled throughway doubles for U.S. Food Service in Buffalo, New York. So we would bring them. We bring it to the drop point, one of the toll booths, and we'd be able to drop one. Then we'd go back and get the other trailer.
Right. I know the purpose.
You're not allowed to technically leave And so you're just kind of doing the straight line aspect of the interstate. I don't know if it's a factor that you probably could do the same thing in some aspect, but you'd have to set up staging areas that you wouldn't have to make. Now, the second trailer usually follows the first trailer, but the problem is cars usually get confused and they stuff like that. But
they put roundabouts in and cars don't know what they're doing either. So what's the difference?
So I do know that from the aspect of pulling doubles, when I drove in New York, there was 240, 48 foots. We would be on the interstate and we would just get to the toll booth and then hook up everything. So right. We really didn't have to take any side roads or anything like that.
But what I'm saying is we have major interstates all over this country. It can be done everywhere. Sure. And we could solve a problem with drivers and we could solve a problem with loads. And even if you have to drop them, why do we always make it so hard on us? We need to regulate one law for the nation for transportation and not 50 damn laws for transportation. Everybody get their money. I don't care who gets their money, but one set of oversized, one set of permits to go from here to there would save your life a bunch of headaches of getting permits and everything.
Sure would. Yeah.
Would help the driver, and everybody could learn the rules together and be. If we had to do it with the damn driver's license, let's do it with all the truck regulations.
Well, it's just like where I always go back to, we are federally regulated. We have a federal driver's license pretty much because we're under federal law and rules. Why are not every interstate system in this country, the speed limits the same?
Mm-hmm.
Instead of doing the split for the cars and trucks
and
stuff.
We got 50 different states that want money.
California trucks are 55. That's total bullshit.
Everywhere.
You know, and I don't, when you get out west, there's some speed limits. It's 75, 80 miles an hour.
We got Rocky Mountain
doubles. Well, no, you can't do that in certain areas, but I mean, there isn't no reason that it can't be 70 mile an hour straight across the country.
Well, look at the Michigan trains. Everybody says, oh, they tear up the roads. Well, they've done tests. Them things are like camellias. The more axles on the ground.
It's how much pounds per square inch is on the ground with all the tires.
They're less
putting less stress on it than you are.
That's why everybody went to tracks and farming.
At 80,000. Yeah.
Because it spreads the weight out. And everybody said, well, you can't stop 160,000. You doubled up the brakes. You got more than you do.
You got all sorts of brakes in that son of a bitch.
Yeah. So it's just stupid that we don't do this stuff. And that would solve a lot of the driver problems, the cost problems, the shortage of drivers, freight not getting moved. And then you could hire new guys that want to start out. Make them the local driver. Go pick up the trailer where you drop it and deliver it,
Yeah.
So...
I don't know. There's too many fingers in the pot, especially when it comes to the government. And then when each state that wants to change certain things that, benefit them or they can rake in more money also is what it usually ends up being. It's always about the money.
Well, back in the day, it was the Teamsters putting the money in the pocket. Now it's the big companies putting the money in the pocket. And the great discussion we had last week, shortage of drivers, there never was. There was just a shortage of CDL.
Oh, yeah, there is. There's a shortage.
There's no shortage of CDL holders, but there's a shortage of drivers. That's my
idea. Yeah, get it straight.
Drivers. There's no shortage of CDL holders.
Well, you can have somebody as a CDL. That doesn't mean they're a driver.
Yeah. Well, you've cheated them out of the money because you put 72,000 people in these big companies and pay them $40 a day.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not doing this job. I don't pay nothing. I'm gone all the time.
Okay. You didn't drive over the road, Dave, but like me and Bill, when we started, what was your going mile per your rate? How many cents per mile when you first started?
Cents. It should be bills.
No, it was cents.
Yeah, no, it was.
Was it like in the 20 cents range, the 23, 26?
It was right at, when I first started, it was right at 20 cents. But I worked for one of those companies that did the fuel bonus and the safety bonus. Where
so
you could
drive 55 mile an hour for life.
You had to shut your truck off every time you come to a red light in order to get that fuel bonus. It was ridiculous.
Do a couple dozen batteries to start it all the time. But.
You remember those little magazines that used to be in the foyers of the truck stops in those days? I don't know. Maybe they still are.
Advertised
but that was
how much they paid a mile for each company. Yeah.
And they would advertise up to 27 cents a mile to start.
I think when I started at 23 cents a mile. I think it was.
Cannon sure. Express, yeah. Springdale, Arkansas. I'm
and gonna... you had to run your ass off to make.
I think it was 19 cents for Schneider when I started. I think it was 19 cents.
But that was back in the '90s, and you know, if you made $600, that was big money back in the day. Then you know.
Oh, but you never would because you took too many cash advances.
Advances, and you're like, oh, here's your check for 19 cents.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah. And they the dispatcher or somebody would always, would you like to get an advance? Well, hell yeah.
Yeah. Mont lizards ain't cheap.
There's a buffet up here at this TA I got to get to. Give me some money. Well, like you got a T-check or comm check? How do we want to do? I'm like, oh, God.
Oh, that was a nightmare.
The caller cards were the best. Come on.
Yeah.
You missed the number you started over again.
I remember I went from one company to another, and I got paid salary.
Ew.
And it was $400 a week to run to Chicago every day.
Lord have mercy.
With a dump trailer. And you would haul...
That's what, 85
pig iron or some kind of scrap up there, and you pick up salt back there on the barge there at Chicago and bring it back down to Wabash, dump it at the foundry, and do it all over the next day. And oh my God. You talk to other guys, oh yeah, I'm making $800 a week. I said, well, that's twice as much as I'm making.
They were full of shit. They were full of shit. Wasn't nobody making no money like that back then.
I remember the first year I made $28,000, and I thought I was rich.
Damn, dude, you're the high tax bracket there. You're just rolling in money there.
I was working for the old scrap company as a yard jockey and a crane operator.
Was you putting a little scrap in your pocket, taking it home, bringing it back somewhere
Didn't
else?
Didn't need to. Well, back in them days, they had you walk around the yard, and if there was metal laying in the yard, you put it in a bucket, and then you take your bucket up at the end of the week, and they would pay you a penny a pound for everything you picked up in the yard. So they liked it, and so good old days.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
But, well, come on, guys, talk. We got another 8 minutes before we're wrapping it up. Find something to talk about. A bunch of deadbeats. I know it's Saturday morning. Ain't nobody awake yet.
Well, hold on. Where are you going to eat later today?
I got a wedding today I have to go to.
You're getting married?
Our producer's son is finally getting married.
Wait a minute.
No way.
Well, Mike's boy is getting married, huh?
Yep.
Wow. Well, congratulations.
Was it all of a sudden? Is she pregnant or what?
No, they've been dating for 2 years. The funny part about it is
Mike pregnant?
I told the girl at breakfast this morning, I said, celebrate him. He's getting rid of his son. He's getting a wife now. And Mike goes, yeah, now I have two dependents instead of one.
Two dependents.
You just busted him out for the whole world to come by and observe
him
admire.
Out. Yeah.
No, Steve, if Mike could get pregnant, Dave would have had that ass about 20 times.
Oh, yeah.
David had dependents.
He doesn't know he's my Saturday wife. I actually have a Saturday wife.
No, he knows. Trust me.
And everybody made fun of my Saturday wife. Well, Mike's your Saturday wife. And then after years go by, they go, I kind of wish I had me a Saturday wife because we would get together and go get shit done or go do projects and stuff. And it was every Saturday, and we went home. And it's like my daughter calls me up. You know, I could use
Dave's
a Saturday
He's Dave's helping
wife.
Hand is what it is.
Oh, that's what it is. Is that calling it now? Okay.
Yeah.
They do have an enviable relationship.
It's one of them, looks like the hamburger helper hand, you know, that little white hand with the face in it.
No, that would be the Michelin tire hand. Come on.
The Michelin
We're fat
tire.
Guys.
Yeah, well, that's the whole suit, dude.
What's the, what was the Ghostbusters? The good one that Bill liked for all the women? No, I'm.
The Stay Puft Marshmallow Man?
Let's talk about how you can ruin a franchise, all right?
I'm actually shocked. To be honest, I'm shocked that out of all the videos and stuff we said in the last one, the hourly wage is the one that ran. That one.
It's crazy.
Well, you never. Well, it
the
usually always
are,
is something
the name
that
of the
hits
company?
Somebody's pocketbook. They are all over it. When I bitched about toll roads one time.
Yeah.
And I told Dave, I said, the toll roads were put in to pay for the roads back in the day. When Eisenhower and all that, they built all them toll roads, when the interstate system. And they've been paid for, you know, 50, 80 years ago. They were paid for. but they're still charging for them. There shouldn't be any toll road in this country.
What about
they were all paid for. Pennsylvania
Pike? That's the oldest one. That's the first one, I think.
That must have been an expensive road to build because, by God,
all them mountains.
That was the first highway, and we're still paying for that. Some of a bitch.
I think it's like $170 to go all the way across.
$160.
On 76. Isn't that 76? Yeah, the Pennsylvania Turnpike.
Yeah,
from end to end. 70 is only toll road between
East Parcel over there.
From Illinois to Ohio, eventually, if he has his way.
Yeah. 70.
On 70, yeah.
70 is, I mean, when you get into, you know you're in Indiana on 70 because you have to tighten your seatbelt down just to stay in
you. Off the days.
My truck is in the shop right now and just got new airbags put on it. I ran down 69 the other day and it was every little crack, it was just slam, slam. I mean, and it ended up blowing a friggin' airbag out on my truck. And I'm like, well, this road's not getting ran on the way back up. I came up 31 to come back the other way and it was a lot better.
So, what is some of the biggest complaints you get about your oversized hauling contracts, or is it more from the customers?
Do you have the shitty route guys that don't mark the routes right?
Yeah, that's one that we have. Route surveys that didn't measure the width of the bridge or determine that. Hey, we can't get over that railroad track. What are you talking about?
I got a buddy of mine that's doing that for a company right now. I think I told you. And I talked to him yesterday. He goes, yeah, I'm driving to Houston right now. I'm going to get on the airplane and fly up to, I think he said Oregon or Washington, and get a rental truck. And then he's got a surveyor out up there and to have him move this, move that. And I'm like, well, really, they move shit for you. I didn't know that.
Yeah, they do. Well, I'll give you a quick story. You guys want to know one of my worst situations? Well,
sure.
Funny for you guys. Not funny for me. So I do fiberglass tanks, and I was hauling one from Texas coming into Memphis, Tennessee, and it was like 14 diameter, 15.6 on the truck. And once you get into he's hauling that, no big deals. And I get a phone call, and I'm like, okay, hey, what's going on? He's like, well, I had a car pull out in front of me, and when we load these fiberglass tanks, we put them on wood saddles so they don't lay on the deck. And he's like, I had a car pull out in front of me and I had to slam the brakes on and the tank slid and it slid out from underneath the saddle and the tank's laying on the, it hit the deck of the truck and it's laying in, it's no longer on the saddles. And I'm like, well, any damage? He's like, yeah, there's some damage to it. And I'm like, well, how far away are you from the receiver? He's like, well, I'm, 15 miles away from the receiver. I'm like, well, let's go into the receiver, take it into the receiver, show them the damage, and let's see if we're going to be able to, have somebody come out and refiberglass it and fix it on site, or if we're going to have to bring it back to get it pressure tested and everything. He says, all right. So 30 minutes later, I get another phone call and he says, is this, ask me who I am. And he says, yeah, this is the site manager. We see the damage to the bottom of the tank. What happened to the top of the tank? I'm like, what? We see the damage on the bottom of the tank, but what happened to the top of the tank? And I'm like, well, I had no idea. We knew about the bottom but I had no idea what's going on at the top. Well, the top of the tank is also smashed. And I'm like, put the driver on the phone. Okay, so put the driver. He's like, I don't know what happened to that. I'm like, well, did you hit any trees? Did you catch any wires? Like, is there anything that you hit? Maybe tree branches can do it sometimes, or wires, or you're sneaking underneath stuff like that. Did wind blow nope, didn't hit nothing at all. I'm like, so this just magically happened. I don't know how it happened. I'm like, all right. So obviously they're going to send the tank back, and that was the receiver that called me. Well, my customer is a manufacturer, so of course I'm reporting everything back to them and telling them, hey, we've got damage to the tank. We're going to have to bring this thing back. They're not going to accept it. It's going to be a claim, stuff like that. So he's like, what happened? I said, well, a car pulled out in front of him and, he slammed the brakes on, the tank slid off. And then we don't know what happened to the top of the tank. So next day I get, because of the outstanding video recording and YouTube existed at the time, I get a video sent to me. He says, I mystery solved from my manufacturer, of course. And I'm like, oh my God, what is this video? So I click on the video and it's my truck, because it was my truck. He was my driver. My tank, which was the manufacturer's tank, sitting underneath the bridge in Memphis, Tennessee with the cops while the driver's letting the air out of the tires. He hit the bridge. That's what knocked him. I go him up. I'm like, his name is Mike. I'm like, Mike, you sure you don't know what happened to that?
No way, dude. I don't know what you're talking about.
Bro, it's bad. Hang on. I'm like, I'm going to text you a video. I want you to take a look at this with me. We're going to watch it together. And he's like, now remember, it's got the name of my company on the door.
That's not me.
You're it's got the name of the company on the tank. It's got my company name on the door. It's
hey, wasn't me.
He's like, that's not me. I'm like, what do you mean? That's my truck. That's your tank. That's literally you. I mean, like, you just looked at the camera that this person was holding. That's you. You're wearing the clothes. That the same clothes.
I was never in aisle six.
So did he go down with the ship and never admit it?
With the ship. I'm like, bro, I if you're going to still say this isn't you, I got to let you go. I was going to let him go. I mean, it wasn't me, boss. Wasn't me. That's not me. That's not my truck. Because I'm still paying a loan on that truck. I know what that motherfucker looks like. All right? I'm telling you, that's my license plate I bought. That's my truck. That's my DOT number. That's my trailer. And that's my the manufacturer's load. He's like, well, where'd you get it from? Well, they found it. He's like, they're setting me up so that they don't have to pay. Like, what are you talking about? They're setting you up. Well, you think this is a conspiracy that they just God. This is like 12 years ago. This is before AI. Okay.
I was just about to say, that was an AI video when I am already featuring diligence.
I'm like, matter of fact, the cops that are there, because it would say it was Memphis City Police officer, right? Called the Memphis City Police Department and got the damn police report. It's you. It's your name on the report, bro. It's not me.
Still not me. I don't know who put that down.
Still not me, because I had to get all that for insurance anyways, right? Because I had to get to copy the police report, copy all this stuff for insurance. Not me. Not me. I'm like, I swear to God, the cops seem to think it's you. I seem to think that's my truck. Yeah, that was one of the. So that was one of the ones that I went called back my manufacturer. And I still been with this manufacturer for like 16 years. He's like, the first thing he said to me, don't tell me. It's not him, right? Oh, God, you knew it was coming, didn't you? He's like, yep, because they have drivers also. But same answer. It's not me. That's not me. I didn't do that. I don't know what happened.
Yeah,
I can't believe you would blame us drivers like that.
I know. Especially broker. You know what I'm saying? What the hell? I don't know.
I think there is, I mean, I once knew a guy. I don't want to name drop here, so let's just make up a name. Dan Golden. No, I'm kidding.
I hope he's listening.
I once knew a guy.
Yeah.
That was so. No, I'm kidding, Dan. If you're listening, this ain't you. It's
definitely but it is you.
Private message says it is Dan. Was that for you guys? Oh, I'm
sorry. So people do believe the lies they tell. And I mean, that is culturally, for some reason, a thing for truck drivers. And it's got to be because we spend so much time alone that we crawl up inside our heads and we start to believe what the little
bigger
gremlins.
Lie than the last guy is what it is.
Yeah. And my favorite one, this guy would tell. Now, he and I used to team. And I'm still not talking about you, Dan. He and I used to team, and he had this story about, you guys have heard this, the 9-foot state trooper that walked up to the cab and looked you I've dead in the eyes.
In a cab over.
Yeah. Yeah. He would tell this lie with me standing right there next to him. He would tell somebody this lie and then look over at me like, man, can you believe that happened? And I'm just standing there like this is okay. Now I get it. People do
You're
actually believe
me in this, Shirah.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Yeah. Cause he didn't tell it like it was like it happened to him. He told it like it happened to me.
Us.
you know, and yeah, I couldn't believe it. That trooper, I think he said it was Mississippi. I've never even talked to a Mississippi state trooper in all my years.
Well, guess what? You are this week.
Yeah, they're coming.
Just
for me.
Jinxed yourself.
Yeah. Well, we're up against it, kids.
Yeah. Go ahead and tell where everybody can find you again, and your dispatching company, and your insurance lies, and your broker. I can't get you no love.
I like
back.
When he starts laughing when you say lies right
yeah.
away.
Dude. Yeah, you can find me at 3fattruckers. Yeah, check me out at Sage Outcast X. That's the best way. I do shows usually Mondays and or no Tuesdays and Thursdays. I'll do shows and talk freight and stuff like that. But yeah, you can find me there. That'd be the easiest way.
Right
on. Where can you find us, Bill?
Well, email the show at 3ftpodcast.org. Check us out on Facebook, Instagram. Facebook is the place you want to go if you want to interact with us in real time, because that's the one thing that's about the only thing my phone will ding for. But yeah, we're everywhere. Like and subscribe. On the YouTube, on the Apple Podcasts, whatever, you know, if there's an opportunity to leave a message, drop a message, tell us we suck, but do it in 5 words or more if you're doing it on TikTok, because that helps us out.
Yeah.
Anyway,
that's true.
We will be back next week. I promise. Until then, I'm Bill.
And this is your old Muddy Dave that you can find on TikTok, because I seem to, my phone beeps on that one. So if you find me on TikTok, I'll answer there, but I managed to go through everything else. So, hey guys, have a good week. It's your old buddy Dave.
And this has been Steve. Thanks for stopping by. Old Dave's the king and queen of the TikTok. So
I don't know how he keeps a battery.
Oh, he's always plugged in, I think.
Yeah.
Sounds good. Have a good week, everybody.
We'll see you guys.
Yep. See you.
Sleeping hot? Waking up sweaty at 2 a.m.? It's not you, it's your sheets. And Care Aloha is your answer. They're the original for bamboo sheets that are naturally breathable, moisture-wicking, and luxuriously soft, designed to keep hot sleepers cool and comfortable all night long. You can feel the difference in how much cooler you sleep. Care Aloha's innovative bamboo fabric pulls heat away from your body, so you fall asleep faster and stay asleep longer without cranking the AC. Improve your sleep tonight. Shop Care Aloha bamboo sheets now at carealoha.com. That's carealoha.com. Cooler sleep starts with Care Aloha. Sleeping hot? Waking up sweaty at 2 a.m.? It's not you, it's your sheets. And Care Aloha is your answer. They're the original for bamboo sheets that are naturally breathable, moisture-wicking, and luxuriously soft, designed to keep hot sleepers cool and comfortable all night long. You can feel the difference in how much cooler you sleep. Care Aloha's innovative bamboo fabric pulls heat away from your body, so you fall asleep faster and stay asleep longer without cranking the AC. Improve your sleep tonight. Shop Care Aloha bamboo sheets now at carealoha.com. That's carealoha.com. Cooler sleep starts with Care Aloha.